Lord, for your church, we come to pray.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're honored every other Wednesday to have a conversation on Christianity, culture, understanding our faith in the church, and getting a good perspective from Leith Anderson. Leith serves as president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and for 35 years he was pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and has written some 20 books and speaks and teaches widely, and we're always interested in getting his insights. Leith, Ted and I are looking forward to talking with you again. Thanks for coming on.
You always have such interesting topics, my goodness.
Well, I want to pick up on a conversation you had just recently on your, I think, most recent podcast on NAE website. You talked with Rich Stearns, president of World Vision, and I'm interested in maybe your observations in that conversation, you know, what our role should be in terms of, you know, addressing global poverty. There's relief groups like World Vision, there's the government, there's the church. What did you discover?
Well, the good news is that extreme poverty around the world has been significantly reduced, cut in half in recent years, but there are still hundreds of millions of people who are desperately poor. And as Christians, we have a biblical mandate to care and to help. And the United States government has done great good, although, you know, the foreign aid to help poor people is 0.6% of our federal government, and there are people that want to actually cut that back, which can cost the lives of our brothers and sisters. Often, the government partners together with Christian agencies like World Vision and World Relief, and I got to tell you, I'm especially grateful when relief and development can be done through local churches, and that's what these organizations seek to do, because churches are already there, and churches will be there when the Americans have gone home. And churches are organized and have the structure that reduces costs, it increases effectiveness. And also, churches can provide spiritual and personal ministry that government agencies aren't going to do. So we can do this together in a way that's more effective than government doing its thing and Christian agencies doing their thing.
Yeah, definitely worth supporting the work of World Vision and other ministries. Leith, I'm thinking specifically about parts of Africa, especially East Africa and the Horn of Africa. They're in the midst of an epic famine. It just seems to continue. What can we do to help stem the tide of disaster there?
Well, it is epic. 20 million people in East Africa are either in or on the brink of famine, and that is frightening. So what can we do? Well, we can pray for God's intervention and help. We can give to relief agencies like World Vision in Seattle, World Relief in Baltimore. We can call members of Congress to just encourage support from U.S. foreign aid to East Africa. And I think, Ted, something else that we need to do is we need to tell other people, tell our friends in church, because 20 million people potentially starving to death, and most Americans don't even know anything about it, so spread the word.
That is so profound. We can hardly imagine it, I guess. And, you know, as you said, we're making progress in the general scheme of things, but certainly in this specific area, terrible famine and troubles. I was interested, Rich Stearns, you had a chance to talk with him in your podcast, but he wrote an article in Christianity Today recently about focused compassion. And I'm just interested in, you know, if you see that need as well, that we— you know, maybe Christians are a little bit too scattered in our generosity.
Yeah, there are different ways of talking about scattered. But one of the things that we all, I think, tend to do, and Rich Stearns expresses this concern, is that when there's an immediate crisis, we jump in, but we tend not to stick around to make a long-term difference. So when there's an earthquake or a hurricane or another disaster, donations just rush in, which is really good, but often we're reluctant to keep giving after the news story has moved on to someplace else. Many Christian organizations call themselves relief and development. So relief is short-term, but development is long-term. Now, let me give you a quick example. Suppose there's a famine, and we give money to ship food from the U.S. to feed hungry people. That's good. But if free food that's sent drives local farmers out of business, that means there's going to be no food next year after the free food stops coming. So development is helping local farmers to grow and sell crops to feed people next year and the year after that. You know, and what can we do? Well, we can give to help today's most needy people, but we can also make a commitment to sort of stick with it, generously give month after month and year after year, and especially to encourage our churches to have relief and development agencies in their church budgets.
Yeah, and that takes a generosity mindset. You mentioned the word generosity there, and I want to shift gears a little bit if I can here. In the latest NAE Leaders Survey, it indicated that evangelical leaders generally tip well. It's about being generous and leaving a little bit more than just the 10% or 15%. Was that a surprising finding for you, Leith?
Well, I hope it wasn't surprising, because if we believe that God has given us every good and perfect gift, then as Christians, you know, we should be the most generous tippers of all. The surveys say that of those who tip, and that's not everybody, of those who tip, the range is 16 to 20%. So evangelical leaders are actually at the top. The median is 20%. And for most of us, you know, it's not a choice between a generous tip and a church offering. Most of us can afford to do both. And sometimes, you know, poor service triggers a lower tip. I don't personally agree with that. You know, I've decided if people provide lousy service, it may be that the life issues that they're struggling with have come over into their service, and maybe they need more help, not less help. Also, I think a lot of people don't realize that there's a minimum wage, a federal minimum wage, and for those who work in dine-in restaurants, and it's $2.13 an hour. So not all states abide by that. But if that's what people are paid, that's without tips, that's $80 a week, full-time, that's $4,000 a year. So people really need the tips in order to survive and raise their children and feed their families.
Well, as you said, we as Christians should be the most generous because we, ought to recognize how much God has given us, I guess. I mean, that there is something to be said for building and encouraging generosity day in and day out. Is that something that you tried to do as a pastor when you were teaching and preaching? That, you know, some people say, well, whenever I come to church, I always talk about money.
Well, generosity is more than money. I think that we give when we are grateful and when we're generous, and we should do both of those things. And it's how everything ties together. Back to tipping, one person that responded to our survey said, if I'm going to pray before a meal, I should be generous with the tip. And I remember reading that and thinking, gee, if you're not going to tip, maybe you shouldn't pray before you eat, because it's the reputation of God that's also at stake here. So we should be generous because God has been generous to us.
That's a good word. We're talking with Leith Anderson, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, here on Connecting Faith. And on another topic, Leith, Governor Sam Brownback has been nominated by President Trump as Ambassador at Large for Religious Freedoms, quite a title. What will his responsibilities be?
This is sort of a new position, started in 1999. Actually, I've known most of the ambassadors that have held this particular position. And in the U.S. Bill of Rights, it's our first freedom is religious freedom. So what we need to do is seek to encourage this around the world. And when people are a religious minority, they often are persecuted. Religious freedom is actually at risk worldwide now, maybe more than any time recently. So this ambassador at large has, I think, a big and a difficult job with very limited resources. And what this person is supposed to do is step up and find out what's happening around the world and then influence other countries, but also influence U.S. foreign policy. And Governor Brownback, if he's confirmed by the Senate, he will actually be the fifth person to hold the position, but he'd be the first elected politician to ever hold the job. It's never been a politician that has been appointed an ambassador at large for religious freedom before.
Well, I know, I think he was, when he was in the legislature, actually was part of the team that put together legislation to put up this position, so I know that he's committed to. And I was, I guess, maybe somewhat surprised to discover that there really aren't positions like this in other countries around the world, that this is kind of a unique position for the U.S.
It is, and that's because it's a priority for us. And it's got its controversies that go with it, as many political positions do. But I want to be part of a country that advocates for religious freedom for everybody, because I think that's good for the world, but I think it's also good for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Leith, we always enjoy talking with you. I hope that your summer is going well, and we look forward to our next conversation.
And may your summer go great as well, and enjoy all of the blessings that God has given, and be generous.
All right. Yeah, that's right. We're going to pray before a meal. You know, remember, may want to give generously at the end as well. Leith Anderson serves as president of the National Association of Evangelicals. You can find out more about the podcasts and their leader surveys and all sorts of resources available online, nae.net. And we're always honored to talk church and culture with Leith Anderson. And we do that every other Wednesday here on Connecting Faith.